A bit of a prologue. This is one of my favorite problems, or at least one that I've thought about more often than anything else. Through grad school, and about every 6 months, I would come up with a, because I love the Poincaré sphere so much, because I feel like that's the all physics I know is somehow related to the Poincaré sphere. I really thought that there should be one for 2 qubits, because I was making entangled states all the time, and a density matrix, though eventually I gained the ability to glean what the various complex 16 numbers meant. It's not exactly intuitive what's going on when you just write down a density matrix. So I'm like, there has to be a picture. So about every 6 months, I would come up with some convoluted picture involving several pages, and then Evan and Paul, my old boss, Paul Quiet, would tell me why it didn't work, and then I would go back and sulk for a month, forget about it for 6 months, and then the cycle would start all over again. Until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I came up with a new plan, and until now, I haven't been able to find out why it doesn't work. And I've asked Paul and Evan, so that's always worked before. So hopefully, one of you guys can tell me why this one is a bad plan. Okay, so that's the introduction. So all of you know what the Poincaré sphere is. I'm just going to introduce you to my notation, namely the colors. I've written them all here. This is really a chalk and talk, which it's important to keep that in mind because I threw this together last night after I found out that I was talking. So it's not as polished as it might be. So please forgive me. And so I'm going to use these colors to talk about these states. And if you prefer zeros and ones to H's and V's, that's all over here as well. Okay, so it's unfortunate that the screen is a little compressed. You'll have to imagine that things are actually spheres. On mine, they are. So if you want to come around here later, I can show you. Okay, so here's a Poincaré sphere, no problem. So first, I'll talk about a little bit about why all the things I came up with before I eventually was convinced were bad. Well, there's a few conditions that you'd really like to have. You want it to be accurate, first and foremost. That's the easy one. Density matrix is accurate. It's not really obvious what you do with the density matrix, except maybe the probabilities on the diagonal. That's about all without specialized training you can get from the density matrix. And then useful is more of a statement about dynamics. What can you do with it? Okay, so the Poincaré sphere is a great example of a good representation, in my opinion, which is you can immediately tell. So first of all, it's true, it's accurate. Second, you can tell what state you're talking about when you just put a dot on there, wherever it is, you know which state that corresponds to a state. And a lot of useful things like projection. You just pick an axis of a projection you'd like to make, drop the ball to the axis, and that corresponds to the probability of getting that measurement. It's just your linear distance across that line. At the moment, I'm just talking about the Poincaré sphere. All of this is to point, yes, Bloch and Poincaré. No, not, nothing, nothing of Joe here. Rotations also are easy. You just pick an axis, rotate, and you can see how the states transform. So this is my metric of what is a good representation. So I'll show you what a bad representation is, which is one of my, I don't know, this is something like circa 3 years ago, Joe trying to represent states, which actually we've seen these tetrahedrons all around. Basically, you just pick five mutually unbiased bases, any five mutually unbiased bases, and then plot the point that corresponds to the probability distribution inside that simplex. And then you get 5 points, and it's definitely accurate. And you can kind of tell from this point what state you're going to get. So it's kind of obvious, but it's and that for a while I was excited about this one, which you can see I made this graphing program until I realized that I had no idea what I would possibly do with this after I had these points. In addition, it's kind of huge and would take up an entire PRL page for one density matrix, so it's really not acceptable. Okay, but nevertheless, I finally get to show this in a talk. Robin?
Looking at sort of, dynamics as animations?
For more time than I'm willing to admit. It looked cool. Yes. Cool, you'll notice, was not one of the three requirements. Otherwise, you would have seen this a long time ago, and many more. This is the only bad representation I'll show you, by the way. Okay, so what am I here to talk to you about today? So the basic idea is remote state preparation. So I'm going to assume that in this room, almost everybody knows what remote state preparation is in general. You make a measurement on 1 qubit in a 2-qubit state, and then that is going to, based on the result of that measurement, prepare its partner in a different state. Basically, all of my representations today are going to look, they're 2 qubits, and they're going to look like 2 Poincaré spheres back to back, because the important qubits are light, so they're point gray spheres, not block spheres. And okay, so these colors are just references. All these little colored dots are just so you can keep track of which places on the sphere is H and V and R and L, et cetera. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I am going to, on qubit 1, remotely prepare, I'm going to measure in the state H. And then I'm going to see what state corresponds to that on qubit 2. For this state, this Bell state that we're using, that's H. I'm going to do the same thing in reverse. Prepare H on qubit 2 and then see what it projects into its partner. And then I'm going to make another mark here on the corresponding place. We'll do that for diagonal as well. This is the same in any linear basis, so diagonal makes diagonal. And so this qubit prepares qubit 2 in diagonal. If I measure diagonal in qubit 2, it prepares qubit 1 in diagonal. Okay, so what completes the set? We'll do left circular. Measuring left circular light, which is down here on the point gray sphere, prepares right circular light. So I'm going to make a yellow mark here at the top on the right circular point on the sphere. And likewise, the same thing happens over here. So now I've got three. Next step is I'm going to do this with all of the points on the sphere. And then I'm going to make colored marks corresponding to the colors of these axes, because our eyes conveniently can see in three axes. So that's, please. Right. So one thing you might, so I think there's several ways to answer that, and I have a lot of slides on that. But let me briefly say, if you were to prepare, say, a mixed state, which was one type of classical correlation, then this yellow point here would just be inside the sphere. So if I had, say, a totally mixed state, then any point on the sphere remotely prepares only a single black dot right at the center. If I had a partially mixed state, then these spheres might shrink in the case of, say, a Wörner state. Here it's a maximally entangled state.
Correlations around the equator, but he wouldn't get the correlations to the poles.
Mm-hmm. So I think I got confused by something. You've got the red. Okay. And
this is important. If we don't get this, the rest of the talk is just check your email.
H on the left gives me H on the right.
Right.
And the same with V.
Yes.
And if I measure diagonal on the left, I get diagonal on the right.
Right.
And same with anti.
Yes.
But then the left circular on the left should give me right circular on the right.
Absolutely right.
But it, just looking at this, I've got red circle to red circle, yellow.
Blue dot to yellow.
It's the fact that the blue dot and the yellow circle are
different colors.
Yes, keep in mind, I'm a polarization guy, so X, Y, and Z axes are H, D, and R. So that may be a weird. And consult the board. If the colors start to get confusing. So this, yes, you're absolutely right. You have correlation in the red and green, and then anti-correlation in the yellow blue.
So I should draw a line from the red dot, sorry, the yellow dot on the right to the yellow circle on the left.
Correct.
So the circles are always what you're measuring. The dots are where you end up.
Right. The dots are just a reference. They're just saying, the dots are the method.
Other way around. Yes, the circles are what you're measuring.
The circles are what I'm remotely preparing. Perfect question. Turns out not possible, because that would be perfect correlation in every basis. And maximally entangled states have perfect correlation in linear bases, and then in the circular basis, it's anti-correlated. The singlet state, HV minus VH, has anti-correlation in every basis. And it turns out that out of the four Bell states, three of them have correlations in two bases and anti-correlation in one. Those are the triplet states. And then one of them, the singlet, has anti-correlation in every basis. This used to confuse me greatly because there's no energy level splitting in light. And I couldn't figure out why the singlet was doing its own thing, even though it's clearly the coolest. But it had no, Well, what makes it so special? And this the first use of this, I'll say the first use of this, was to show, convince me of why that doesn't really matter. And I'll get to that. Okay, so I'm going to fill in the rest of the colors. And this is what most of my plots are going to look like. Now all those circles, that's just the color of the surface. So you'll note that yellowish states are mostly left circular and get mapped up here to the right, to right circular during this remote state preparation. Red gets mapped to red, green gets mapped to green, and then the rest of the sphere is correspondingly colored. Does this make sense? Okay, so this is a maximally entangled state. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum and look at a separable state. A separable state, HH, no matter what I measure on this side, its partner is H. No matter what I measure on this side, its partner is H. Which means that all that entire globe has collapsed down to one point here and one point here. And when I graph these, I have a large black dot at the center of my globe, which sort of encompasses everything just to make this easy to see. So the black dot on H and the black dot on H just means that everything went to one point. So that's a separable state, one point in each sphere. You can have separable mix. You can have, separable is now the wrong word. You can have a dot anywhere in this sphere, tensor product with a dot anywhere in this sphere. And then it's easy to read out. You can have I cross a tensor product H, whatever you like. Okay.
Does that dot correspond to the block vector, or the what do you call it, the polarization, the Poincaré vector, Stokes vector.
Sure.
For the marginal, when you do a partial trace over the other.
Excellent question. So there is this black dot, even in this one, there is a center of this sphere, which is, if you draw a line from the yellow circle, as it was, the center of this, the yellowest point, down to the anti-yellowest point, the x, y, and z axes of this mapping, you get a center point. That point is the polarization state you get if you trace over its partner. In other words, I'm not remotely preparing anything. I'm just ignoring its partner. And then you get what's kind of like the average of this entire map. This is the surface of all the states you could remotely prepare, but I don't remotely prepare anything. I'm at the intersection of those three axes. And so that is what Daniel called the margin. Okay, so does that make sense? I have a black dot at the center, and then I have a very colorful surface. Okay, so let's look a little bit as to whether or not this is useful. So a projection is not as easy on the Poincaré sphere, but it's almost as easy. And that is, now think of the black dot that I told you about at the center of the sphere, whatever the center point of this. This is just a random state, not important which state it is. It's just that there's a surface. This is the surface you can remotely prepare from this, and this is the surface you remotely prepare from this.
Is it a pure state of two qubits?
This is not a pure state. This is a very small sphere inside, and so this is partially mixed. This representation also has the property of the Poincaré sphere that pure states, all of the entire surface must be on the surface of the sphere, because you cannot remotely prepare a mixed state by projecting into a pure state on its part. Yes. True. Can I delay your question? Yes. Well, yeah. So, absolutely. Parameter counting is the first trick you learn when you in the Poincaré school of physics. And so, I will answer your question in due time. Okay. So, I want to get a projection. I want to see how do I get any projection. It's easy on the first qubit to see what is the probability, say, of measuring in H. I do the same thing I did before. I draw an axis. I take the center of the sphere and drop a diagonal. And I read off the chance that this qubit by itself will project into H. Exactly the same thing we do on the Poincaré sphere. Now I multiply that probability by the probability that if I've got H, I now know where I map to. It's this red point right here. Now I pick whatever axis I want to measure this sphere in, take this red dot, corresponding to the red dot that I measured in the first time, and drop it to that axis, which gives me a probability, just like you do on the Poincaré sphere. And all I do is multiply those two together. So not quite as simple, but I don't know if I can say it's twice as hard conserving a number of qubits, but. Exactly. It's like page 3 of a statistics book. Okay, unitary transformations look very easy because these are two different qubits, right? So all I do is I pick an axis and I rotate about it on that side. That's all you do. I just pick the red, anti-red axis, and then I rotate it up, and it just goes. No problem, right? Except that you can rotate through the entangled states with one unitary transformation on one side, which makes me think that, well, for points, a point on this side and a point on this side, that would work. Somehow, when I put a unitary transformation on one side of an entangled state, both are changing, kind of, except we know that's impossible. So now I go cross-eyed. So we thought about this for a little while, and it turns out that in this remote state preparation model, when I put a unitary transformation on qubit 2, I'm also changing the labels of what states remotely prepare over here. So when I have a unitary transformation, all of these points will rotate around it, and then these reference points will rotate around this surface. So the surface of states you can remotely prepare doesn't change. Don't worry, I have a movie, so this doesn't make sense, you'll be able to see it. So the surface of states you can remotely prepare with this qubit doesn't change when you unitarily rotate this one. But which states map to points on this surface do? So in the movie, you'll see this rotate up, and then you'll see the labels on this surface rotate. But the shape will stay the same.
And with the same orientation.
And with the same orientation, unless you define orientation by where this yellow-green dot is.
Right.
Right. If you define orientation by like the major axes of the ellipse, then the orientation with the surface is the same. Okay, here we go. Oh, and it works. Nice. Okay, so it's unitarily rotating around the red anti-red axis. This surface is the same shape, though it's a little hard to see that because normally we associate shape with color, and my color is doing a different thing. But
what was the initial state and what kind of unitary operation you were mimicking?
Okay, this is the initial state, and the initial state is 5 times HH. And then 1 times DD.
It's a mixture, right?
It's definitely a mixture.
Okay.
So 5 parts DD, 1 part HH, 1 part VV, 1 part RL, 1 part LR.
Okay, and those
just
waves,
like cooking.
5111, how do they reflect in the shape of this object?
Yes. Good question. And then more of this will, I have many examples, but you'll see that this is so let's look at the DA axis first. If I project into A on one side, then I get no information. I get a mixed state, because all of these are mutually unbiased relative to A. And I didn't prepare, I get rid of this term. And so I have to have a totally mixed state, which means projecting into A, which is purple, is exactly the center of the sphere. So you'll say, I see on the starting state, purple is exactly the center. If I project into D, mostly I get D, but there's also some mixing coming from these. Because D overlaps with these, it's just that this is stronger. And so D, which is where green maps to, is on the line between the center and perfect D, but not quite. There's some distance there. And as written, this is symmetric when I start, so these two look the same. They can go either direction, no problem.
Basically, two figures are from two subsystems.
Exactly. Qubit 1,
yes.
Qubit 2.
At the beginning, it's symmetric.
At the beginning, it's symmetric.
Good.
The rotation I'm going to do is I am going to, in 5-degree increments, rotate around the red light blue axis, the HV axis. So what I would call a sigma z, except not a full sigma z. I'm going to do a sigma z in 5-degree increments, and then come all the way around until I've done a 2-pi rotation. Since it's on this qubit, this one's going to rotate around. This one, all it is going to get relabeled because I'm remotely preparing different states. If I stick a sigma z in front of my measurement axes on qubit 2, that affects what I'll project into. Brian?
But, okay, after you've done, say, a pi rotation, or let's say a pi by 2 rotation.
Fine.
Of the right-hand qubit.
Yes. And then this is going to come up here.
If I want to measure L.
Yes.
Then that corresponds...
L in which? L in qubit 1?
I want to measure L on qubit 2.
Okay, over here.
That corresponds to projecting onto the vertical axis, is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. And then doing that will now be associated with the preparation of the yellow patch on the left-hand ellipse?
That's exactly right. Okay. If you get L. If your measurement comes up R, then it'll be associated with the blue patch.
Right. So the little dots on the right-hand ellipse are kind of just telling us...
It's easier to see than the surface of the yellow, okay. So I just have them enlarged slightly. That's all.
Okay.
Good. To check that I understand it correctly. If you have, for instance, a mixture of two states, 5 and 1 without those others, would you have here a line instead of ellipsoid? Would you have an extremely narrow ellipsoid which reduces to a line?
If I had, let's say I had a mixture between DD and AA.
Yes, yes.
Then I would have a line. That's exactly right.
Okay.
If I had a mixture between just these four,
yes.
I would have a pancake. It would still be this compressed ellipsoid. Like, all the points would still be there. They would just be flattened to a line, or flattened to a circle, or flattened to a point.
So flattened to a point is a uniform mixture, basically.
Yes? No, because flattened to a point could be a pure state. HH is flattened to a point. Okay, so let's watch the movie one more time, because it took a long time to make. Isn't that nice?
So the dynamics corresponds to what you intend rotation?
Yes, sigma z, around this axis.
And entangling operations?
Not an entangling, that's entirely separable, unitary.
What happened?
I don't have that with it yet, but... Maybe if I...
So is that product? There's a product of sigma z left, sigma z right.
So no. Sigma z right, identity left.
Okay,
so let's go through the other Bell states, because I promised that I would explain why the singlet state was no different than his friends. Okay, so here's HH minus VV. You'll notice that now R maps to R, and H maps to H. But now D maps to A. Now the D basis is the anticorrelated one. HV plus VH, now the H basis is the anticorrelated one, obviously, and the other two are correlated. Finally, we've got the singlet state where everything's anticorrelated. Notice that in the surface, so now look at the surface object, the actual state. This axiom we started with when we made our Poincaré sphere is opposite. When we start, H cross D equals R. In the states we map to, the surfaces we've been mapping to, these maximally entangled states, H cross D equals L. So it's changed to left-handed.
Sorry, you're saying that the direction of H, normal vector cross product with the direction of D, gives us the direction R?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yes, in normal Poincaré space, so on these reference dots, that's what this is the when I labeled things like this, this became true.
Yeah.
But when I map, I end up with left-handed spheres, which is strange. But if I want to line up a left-handed sphere to a right-handed coordinate system, I can never get perfect correlation in all three bases. I just twist it around. I can just twist it around rather trivially and get anti-correlation in every basis.
Yeah.
and all the entangled states, including the weird ones, which I previously had no intuition whatsoever for, like HH plus IVB. That was just a 90 degree rotation in this, and it makes perfect sense. I can just read off what all the correlations are.
Sure.
No problem. And it's and now it's clear. I should stop looking for a perfectly correlated state. I'm not going to find it. Okay. Well. Okay. 5 minutes. Well, we're going to get through. I knew I was going to get through most of the talk, so we'll get to my favorite point, and then I'll stop. Which is, let's look at the Werner state. This is a uniform mix. This is a mixture between a maximally entangled state and a totally mixed state. So, written out here in a separable basis, you can also write it as HH plus VV incoherently mixed with the identity. And you can bury those two strengths, and this happens to be the strength on the border of being entangled. And it's one-third the radius of the other balls. You'll notice that since I've picked these correlations, it is also left-handed. I can pick a different pseudo-Werner state, which has perfect correlation in these last two because it's separable, so now I don't have to follow quantum mechanics' rules. And now I get right-handed spheres. Well, we started talking about right-handed correlation. Correlation was somehow the volume of the sphere, which we didn't really understand. And so we started talking about left-handed and right-handed correlation because clearly these things have the same amount of, I guess if I was a theorist, I might call it mutual information. But one is very, very close to being entangled, and one is very, very far from being entangled. But their dynamics are almost exactly the same. And so we started thinking, well, maybe there's something important here, but that these were rather cumbersome labels. So we decided that sinister and dexter instead. And leading to conjecture one of the five conjecture talk, which turns out it's going to be a one conjecture talk. So this is not proven, but I'm pretty confident in it. Sorry, Daniel, you were going to say.
No, sorry, you explained it better.
Okay, so I can, maybe I'll skip through quickly the rest of the slides, and then later on you guys can, anybody who's interested can ask me questions about them.
While we're looking at this, let me ask
sure.
you something. You can take that one-third sphere in the sinister case and blow it up. To have unit radius, you just get maximally entangled states.
Which corresponds to entanglement purification with an entangling operator.
I'm not talking about the operation, just which states are legal. The point is you cannot do that with the dexter.
No, as soon as I blow up this sphere at all, it becomes illegal.
Right. So to me, one of the useful things about a representation like the Poincaré sphere is it's easy to see which states exist and which don't.
True.
In this picture, do you even have a universal recipe to look at a state and say, oh, no, that one can't exist?
I suspect, with completely without proof, that is a function of something like the volume of the sphere combined with the position of the sphere.
And its handedness.
Oh, yes, exactly right. If its handedness is, yeah, yes. I hope to be able to solve that problem and have not yet. So certainly right now, that counts in the demerits column for this representation. Of course, I would point out that the density matrix, arguably the best one we have so far, also does not have that property. So it's possible I could come up being terrible, but still better than the best we've got.
Although at least we know how to calculate for the density matrix. Here.
That's true. Of course, the density matrix has been around for longer than 3 weeks.
A simple question for the teacher. If you have a given matrix of size 4, would you like to have an explicit formula for those objects, what you basically draw us? For instance, one of the pictures equals something, and then something.
I can definitely write down an explicit formula, though I suspect that after I tell it to you, you can tell me what the elegant way to write it down is going to be.
And can you code it in Java and put it on the internet for me?
I will definitely make the MATLAB functions that make these available.
Have you moved on to questions now, or
no?
Well, I mean, I'm clearly out of time, and I have, you know, I have lots more states to show. So
you have 2 minutes left.
I have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to go to town.
Two more states.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so this is if we take a maximally entangled state, HH plus VV, and then lower the off diagonal elements by a half, then you get this sort of rugby football shape.
So that's ostensibly entangled, according to you.
Okay, well, I'm gonna fast forward, and then we'll take questions at the end. True, but definitely entangled. Okay, this is what you get when you have HH plus epsilon VV, except this is a pure state, and I already showed you that all the pure states are on the surface of the sphere. So what we have is a MATLAB artifact, where this is attempting to be a sphere with a lot of density in one place.
I'm confused now, because now you're telling me that any pure state is mapped onto two points on the sphere?
Surface.
Okay, but it's not...
All of the points...
Because the mental of pure state is six-dimensional, and here the Cartesian product of two spheres is four-dimensional.
I'm still waiting for his part of the counting.
So we have to.
Okay, but
this is
simple. Let's give Joe his 60 seconds of more.
Let me go quickly. Okay, so I add more points to get rid of the artifact, and I add even more points, and it starts to actually look like it's on a sphere. Okay, here's some random states, and here's my final slide, and then I have this is the solution to a riddle that Daniel James gave me, which I won't explain.
That makes sense. No.
Good. Yeah, are you satisfied, Daniel? Okay, thank you.